you take your Bibles, please, and turn to Colossians, the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, beginning of verse 12. Writing to the Christians in Colossae, Paul writes, beginning verse 12 in chapter 3 of Colossians, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other, and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Before we come to God's word, let's go to God in prayer, shall we? Father, we look again to you this morning. Lord, as we start a new year, Lord, as we look at our lives, Lord, help us to look at ourselves as you see us. Lord, not through a rose-colored glasses, but with your eyes. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I need this. As Sue was mentioning, talking about, often as we come to New Year's, people take time to look back over the past year and take inventory. Looking back, there are going to be things and people for which we are thankful. They bring pleasant memories. But there are also going to be other things and situations that bring back unpleasant memories. There have been bittersweet times, like the passing of friends or family members. There have been devastating storms, massive wildfires, ever-increasing violence, including mass shootings. But as well as looking backwards, this change over time is also a time to look ahead to the coming year and consider how the pleasant memories could be repeated and the unpleasant ones avoided. Some people make New Year's resolutions, and as we pointed out, sadly, they may last for a week, maybe two. As Christians, we need to take inventory too. Have we grown? Do those around us see Jesus in what we say and what we do? Are we more Christ-like today than we were last year at this time? Do we have a better understanding of who God is than we did last year? As we begin this new year, it might be good to look ahead and ask, how can my Christian life be more pleasing to God and to those around me more than ever before? In today's scripture, Paul gave eight characteristics that should be seen in every Christian's life. As Paul wrote in Philippians, things Christians should strive for or strain for. The first characteristic he listed was compassion. The Greek word that Paul used means pity, mercy, sympathy, as well as compassion. As children of God, Christians need to display a tender feeling of compassion and mercy towards those around them. We must not be indifferent to the sufferings of others, but we must be concerned about meeting people's spiritual needs as well as their physical needs. As people have been chosen by a merciful God, we need to show mercy and compassion to others in the same way that he has done to us. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Beginning in verse 1. Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. It says, "If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others." Do you put the interests the welfare, you please, of others ahead of your own? Jesus did. Romans 5:8 reminds us, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Some Christians are very good at taking care of the physical needs of others. But what about their spiritual needs? Are we showing compassion to others if we don't tell them how they can have eternal life? Which is more important, a comfortable life here on earth or eternal life in heaven? Do we show compassion to others? The second characteristic is kindness. Kindness is kind of related to compassion. A kind person is as concerned about his neighbor's good as he is about his own. He's helpful to others. Jesus talked about that. Turn back to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Verses 35 and 36. Luke chapter 6, verses 35 and 36. Luke 6, verse 35, Jesus said, but love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. God is kind even to ungrateful, evil people. Romans 5:6 reminds us that when we were still sinners, we were still powerless. Christ died for the ungodly. Now as God's children, we should do the same. We need to follow the example demonstrated in the story of the Good Samaritan, Luke chapter 10. Everyone is your neighbor. Everyone needs your kindness. And then there's humility. Humility. Humility is really not thinking poorly of oneself. Humility is having a proper opinion of oneself. A proper opinion of oneself. Romans 12, verse 3 says, for by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Jesus said in Matthew 18, verse 4, therefore, whoever humbles himself like this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Humility allows one to serve others without caring whether he is noticed or not. Humility is the absence of pride. Fourth characteristic that Paul listed is gentleness. Gentleness, or sometimes translated meekness, isn't being spineless. Rather, being willing to suffer injury instead of inflicting or causing it. Again, gentleness or meekness is being willing to suffer injury instead of inflicting or causing it. Gentleness is power under control. Jesus demonstrated gentleness when he allowed himself to be nailed to the cross. Obviously, as the Son of God, he could have resisted successfully, but he didn't. In Matthew 26, 53, he said, do you think I cannot call my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But instead, he was willing to suffer death on the cross for you. This is gentleness. This is meekness. The gentleness or gentle person does not fly off the handle. He has everything under control. Gentleness is a mark of a Christian under control of the Holy Spirit. It's part of the fruit of the Spirit found in Galatians chapter 5. And then there's patience. The patient person never gets unduly mad at others. That is, he doesn't get mad without a just cause. 1 Timothy 1:16 says that Jesus had unlimited patience. He had perfect patience. But at the acceptable time, Jesus did get angry, like when he drove the money changers out of the temple in John chapter 2. That's what it's meant in Ephesians chapter 4. It says, in your anger, do not sin. The commentator, William Barclay, put it this way. This is a spirit which never loses its patience with its fellow men. Their foolishness, their unteachability never drive it to cynicism or despair. Their insults, their ill treatment never drive it to bitterness or wrath. Patience is the opposite of resentment or revenge. Turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, begin in verse 19. James 1, 19. James writes, "My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteousness or the righteous life that God desires." There are times, although few in number, when it is appropriate to get angry, to defend others. But it's wrong. It's a sin to get angry at the wrong times for the wrong things. Then Paul wrote, "Bear with each other." Bear with each other. Bearing with each other means to endure or hold back, not retaliating, regardless of the circumstances. The King James Version translated as long-suffering. In 1 Corinthians 4:12, Paul gave an example of being long-suffering. He wrote, "When we are cursed, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure it." Paul did not respond in kind, and neither should we. Ephesians 4:2 says, "Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love." Not only are Christians to endure problems and not retaliate, but they also must forgive each other. They forgive the one causing the troubles. If Christ can forgive us when we sin over and over and over, we must be able to forgive each other. We pray every Sunday when we do the Lord's Prayer, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Or as a different translation puts it, "Forgive us what we have done wrong, as we too have forgiven those who have wronged us." We're telling God that if we don't forgive somebody else, that we don't want to be forgiven. That's what you say every Sunday morning. Since we want to be forgiven by God and by others, we must be ready to do the same. And finally, Paul wrote to put on agape, sacrificial love. Agape love is the belt that holds all these virtues together. As 1 Corinthians 13 reminds us, nothing is acceptable to God if not motivated by love. In all the verses we looked up today, love was one of the things that Paul said to use. For that matter, turn to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, beginning with verse 8. Romans 13, verse 8. "Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law." The commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandment there may be are all summed up in this one rule. Love, really sacrificially love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Paul was writing that when one loves love, the love rules in our hearts. It unites all these virtues together. It unites compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness, patience, bearing each other, forgiving each other, are all held together because of the sacrificial love that we have for one another. But if these eight Christian characteristics are to be present and growing in our lives, then we need to get our priorities straight. And Paul gave three Christian priorities, beginning with the peace of Christ. The peace of Christ. The peace of Christ, or the peace of God, if you please, is to rule, be the umpire in a person's heart. This peace is to guide a believer in making decisions. When one obeys the will of God, he'll have God's peace within. But when he steps out of God's will, intentionally or unintentionally, he will lose that peace. But be careful. Peace of heart alone is not always the peace of God. When Jonah was running away from God, back in the book of Jonah, you may remember, he was able to sleep peacefully in the bottom of the boat while a terrible storm raged outside. So having a feeling of peace about something isn't sufficient evidence that one is in the will of God. If we are or if we are in the will of God, we'll be at peace with our fellow believers. If we're out of peace with God, we will bring discord and troubles to the church and even to those around us. Jonah thought he was at peace, but in reality, his sins created a huge storm for those around him and conflict with those on board ship with him. Paul went on to write that when there is peace in the heart with God, there will be praise on one's lips. He wrote, "Be thankful." In Psalm 32, David wrote that before he confessed his sins, he groaned all day long. His strength was sapped. But when he confessed his sins, David had peace with God, and then he could sing. If you find it hard to praise God, perhaps you are walking out of God's will. Paul wrote that the second priority for a Christian is the Word of Christ. The Word of Christ. If you're to experience the peace of Christ, if you're to demonstrate the characteristics of a Christian, the truths in God's Word must dwell in or live in your life. The Word of Christ must fill your life. It should feel at home in your heart. The Bible is much more than just a bunch of facts or trivia. It must influence everything that we think and say and do. And the only way for this to be possible is through reading and studying and applying the Word of God to your life. The Word of Christ must become part of you. As well as causing the characteristics of a Christian to grow, Paul wrote that another result of being filled with God's Word is that within the church body, there'll be teachings and warnings based on God's Word, the Word of Christ. There'll be singing of psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Like Paul and Silas in the Philippian jail in Acts chapter 16, if a person is in God's will and is filled with His Word, then singing will be done with gratitude to God in spite of what the calamity or the problem may be. The third priority is the name of Christ. The name of Christ. It's the simplest and most basic rule of thumb for living the Christian life. Everything we say or do should be done and said in the name of Jesus. 1 Corinthians 10:11 puts it this way. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. By our words and our actions, we should glorify His name. When people look at you, they should see Jesus Christ. Probably one of the best tests of any action is to ask yourself some questions. Can I do this thing asking Jesus for help? Can I speak it and in the same breath say the name of Jesus? Would I be willing to ask Jesus to do this with me? You know, if the answer is no, it shouldn't be done. It's probably a sin. As Christians, we each bear the name of Jesus Christ. We belong to Him because He died for us. Bearing the name of Jesus Christ is a great privilege, but it carries with it a tremendous responsibility. Just as our earthly families have expectations of us to bring honor to our family name and not disgrace it, our Heavenly Father has expectations of us to bring honor to the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. As you look back over the past year, have the characteristics of a Christian been visible in your life as you went about your daily activities? Are you compassionate? Are you kind? Are you humble? Gentle? And the big one, are you patient? Are you being long-suffering? And are you quick to forgive others? Is everything you do controlled by sacrificial love for others? Where do having peace with Christ and living your life as God's Word says rank? Is your prime concern what others think of Christ and Christianity or what they think about you? Since we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we have the resources we need to live and grow our Christian life. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. 2 Peter 1:3 adds, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him. As we begin a new year, I'm not going to try to make a resolution because as Sue reminded us, most people don't keep them. So I challenge you to purpose in your heart, in your mind, to allow the Holy Spirit to make you more Christ-like, to grow the fruit of the Spirit in your life, to transform you from the inside out. In your heart, in your mind, choose to make the peace of Christ, the word of Christ, and the name of Christ the priorities in your life. Let's pray. Lord, help us. Again, Lord, as I keep saying so many times, setting the sanctuary is peaceful and quiet, and you don't want to make a lot of noises, Pastor Steve. Lord, does he say, yeah, these make sense. I hope they make sense. But Lord, when we walk out these doors and the phone starts ringing and people start calling and all the things happen around us, Lord, it's so easy for us to forget what you're saying to us right now. So Lord, help us to walk, to grow as you would have us to. Lord, may we bring praise and honor and glory to your name. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.